理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 4 The Last Spirit. The third ghost slowly and silently walked toward Scrooge. When it stopped in front of him, Scrooge bent down on one knee before it, as if he were its servant. He didn't know why he did this. He only knew that this ghost was very different from the other two. It seemed to spread darkness and mystery through the air.The ghost wore a dark black robe which hid its face, its figure, and everything else except one white hand. Scrooge couldn't even see its eyes behind its hood. It was like looking into a deep black hole. If that one white hand had not been there, it would have been difficult to see the ghost in the darkness. However, when it stood in front of him,Scrooge thought that the ghost was very tall. He knew nothing more because the ghost did not speak or move. He only knew that this ghost filled his heart with a strange, terrible fear.
"Are you the ghost of Christmas Future?" Scrooge asked the black figure.
The ghost did not speak. It raised its white hand and pointed ahead into the mist,as if to tell Scrooge to follow it.
"You are going to show me parts of the future, things that have not yet happened," asked Scrooge.
He needed to hear the ghost speak. Oh, if only it would speak to him. The ghost's silence frightened Scrooge more than anything else. The ghost did not answer Scrooge,But Scrooge thought he saw the ghost's hood move a little, as if the thing inside had nodded its head. That was the only answer he got. Then it raised its white hand again and pointed ahead of them. Dear reader, can you imagine how Scrooge felt? At this point in our story, Scrooge was very familiar with ghosts.Old Jacob Marley and the ghosts of Christmas past and present had surprised him at first, but he had been able to have conversations with them. They had answered his questions, and they weren't even very frightened. But this ghost, Scrooge feared it so much that he could not move. It was as silent and black as death. His knees were shaking.And he could barely walk. The black shape paused for a minute, as if it knew how Scrooge felt, and was giving him time to recover. But Scrooge felt even more afraid. He imagined that behind the ghost's black hood, there were sharp eyes looking closely at him. But even though Scrooge stared as hard as he could into the ghost's hood,All he could see was a ghostly white hand and one large heap of blackness.
"Ghost of the future," Scrooge said, "I fear you more than any other ghost I have met. But I know that, like the other ghosts, your purpose is to help me. And because I hope to be a different man from the man I was, I will go with you and do it with a grateful heart.Please, will you speak to me?"
The spirit said nothing. It only pointed ahead with its white hand.
"Lead me, ghost," said Scrooge. "The night is disappearing, and it is precious time to me. Take me wherever you must take me."
The ghost of Christmas Future turned and walked through the mist. Scrooge followed behind it.He did not touch the black robe, but it somehow seemed to carry him along through the air. All of a sudden, they were standing in the very center of London on a busy street. There were many rich merchants hurrying along the streets. Scrooge could hear the coins moving in their pockets. Sometimes they stopped to speak to each other. They looked at their large gold watches,and played with the gold in their pockets while they talked. The ghost stopped beside one group of merchants and pointed to them. Scrooge realized that the ghost wanted him to listen to their talk, so he walked over to them.
"No," said a large fat man with a red face. "I don't know anything else about it. I only know that he's dead."
"When did he die?" asked another man.
"Last night, I think."
"Well, what was the matter with him?"
said a third man. He took a pipe out of his pocket and began to smoke it.
"I thought he was 100 years old. I thought he'd never die." "Well, only God knows why," said the fat man.
He yawned as if he thought the conversation was boring.
"What has he done with all his money?" said another man.
Scrooge knew the man. He had done business with him. He hadn't realized before how ugly and greedy the man looked.
"I don't know," said the fat man. "Maybe he left it to his company. All I know is he hasn't given it to me."
The other men laughed at this.
"I think it will be a very cheap funeral," the fat man continued, "because I don't know anyone who will go to it. Why don't we all go?"
The ugly man laughed.
"Well, I guess I'll go to the funeral, but only if they provide lunch." Everyone laughed even louder.
"Well, I don't care about his funeral at all," said another gentleman. "I never wear black clothing, and I never eat lunch. What did he ever do for me? But if everyone else is going, I'll go too. Actually, I think maybe he liked me, because we used to stop and speak whenever we met. Well, goodbye."
All the men went away on their own business. Scrooge looked at the black ghost for an explanation, but of course he got no answer. He did not know who the men had been talking about, who the dead man was. Silently, the ghost moved down the street. It stopped in front of two different gentlemen talking together and raised its white hand. Scrooge knew these two men very well, because he had done business with them many times. They were very rich and important men. In his life, Scrooge had always made sure that he worked with the most rich and successful men in London. He always hoped to make money off them.
"Well, how are you?"
said one.
"I'm all right. How are you?" said the other.
"Did you hear the news? Old Scratch has finally gotten what was coming to him,"
said the first man.
"Yes, I heard that he died," said his friend. "Cold outside, isn't it?"
"Yes, but it's nice. Today's Christmas Day. Do you ice skate?"
"Oh, no. I'm too busy for that. Well, I have other things to do. Goodbye."
And the two men parted. Scrooge did not understand why the ghost wanted him to listen to these conversations. What did they have to do with him? Who had died? However, Scrooge felt that the merchant's conversations were important somehow. The ghost would not make him listen if they were not. He wondered what their meaning was. The men could not be talking about the death of old Jacob Marley, because Scrooge was now visiting the future. Jacob Marley's death was in the past. Scrooge could not think of anyone connected with himself who was called Old Scratch. But he knew that Ghost of Christmas Future was there to teach him a lesson.
"Hopefully, I will understand the black ghost's purpose soon," he thought.
He decided to pay close attention to everything he saw and heard. He would also observe his future self when he saw him. Scrooge thought that seeing his future self would give him the answers to all his questions. He looked around everywhere for his future self, but he did not see himself anywhere. Other men sat on the benches where he used to sit. Scrooge hoped that this absence meant that the future Scrooge had changed and did not work as hard as he used to. The terrible ghost stood beside him, quiet and black as night. It had turned toward him, and it seemed to be waiting for him. When Scrooge stopped looking for his future self in the street, he imagined that the ghost's eyes were looking at him closely once again. Why? What was it thinking? What secrets did it know? Scrooge shook and felt very cold inside. Scrooge and the ghost left the busy streets and went to a strange part of town which Scrooge did not know. It was a very poor area, but it was not at all like the Cratchit family's neighborhood. That area of London had been poor, but its people were good and friendly. This neighborhood had many criminals and bad people living in it, and it was dirty and dangerous. No one thought of Christmas here. It was difficult to survive. The streets smelled bad, and the dirty shops and houses had broken windows. The people on the street were almost naked. They were drunken, mean, and ugly. Dogs, cats, and children sat in piles of garbage looking for food. The whole area was filled with too many people, and the air seemed to smell of crime, dirt, and misery. Deep inside this terrible neighborhood, there was a small shop where people went to buy rags, pieces of iron, and even pieces of terrible old meat and bones that the butchers threw away. Sometimes people bought them for soup. Scrooge and the ghost entered this shop next. On the shop's floor, there were piles of chains, keys, boxes, and bits of machines. There were piles of old papers and dirty rags everywhere. Everything seemed to be covered with a layer of grease. There were piles of fat and old bones sitting in buckets. Who knew how many rats, mice, insects, and worms lived in that shop? I don't like to think about it. Sitting amongst all these things was an old man, about 70 years old. He sat in a chair next to a small stove. He was wrapped in a thin blanket, if you could call it a blanket. It was more like a dirty piece of cloth with many holes. But the man did not seem to care. He smoked a pipe calmly. Just as Scrooge and the ghost entered the room, the door opened and an old woman came in. She carried a heavy bag in her arms. Then another woman came in, also holding a bag. The two women stared at each other in surprise, but before they could speak, the door opened again and a man dressed in black entered. He had a bag like the others. They all stared at each other and burst out laughing.
"Well, imagine meeting you two here,"
said the first woman to the other two.
"Look, Joe, isn't this funny? We all arrived here at the same time by accident."
Joe was the old man.
"Well, isn't that convenient?" said Joe. "Come in. Let me shut the door of the shop, and then we can do some business. How noisy the door is. There's no piece of metal in this shop older than this door, and there aren't any bones in here older than mine. Ha! Ha! Come in, come in."
The four people went and sat down next to the stove. Joe put some coal on the fire, and then sat down in his chair and began to smoke his pipe once again. After a moment, the first woman threw down her heavy bag.
"Well, Joe, there it is,"
she said. She looked at the other people in the room almost angrily.
"Everyone has a right to take care of themselves. Every person has a right to make money. I know he certainly did."
"That's true,"
said the other old woman.
"He was a rich old man."
"Well, of course," said old Joe. "Don't stand there staring as if you were afraid, woman. We're not going to tell the police, are we?
Oh, no,
said the others.
Well, it's not as if he needs these things now. He's dead,
said the first woman.
He was a strange old man. He must have been very terrible. I heard he died all alone, with no one in the room with him. Well, open the bag, Joe. Let me know the value of what is inside. You can tell me the truth. I don't care that the others are watching. We knew we were taking his things. He was an awful, mean old man. So it isn't a sin. Open it, Joe.
But the man in black held up his hand and opened his bag first. Inside his bag were some strange objects. There were a few boxes and an old picture. Joe looked at each of the objects and told the man how much money they were worth. It wasn't very much money. Then the second woman opened her bag. Her name was Mrs. Dilber. She had some bed sheets and towels, a few silver spoons, and some boots. Joe counted the objects and told her how much money he would pay for them. Mrs. Dilber received a little more money than the man had.
I always give too much money to you ladies. It's a problem of mine. That's why I'm so poor, said Joe to Mrs. Dilber, laughing. Now, don't ask me for any more, or I'll be sorry for my kindness.
And now look inside my bag, Joe,
said the first woman. Joe opened the first woman's bag. Inside was a large, heavy black sheet.
What is this? Asked Joe. It looks like a bed curtain.
That's exactly what it is,
said the woman. Bed curtains hung around people's beds in the old days. Joe looked surprised.
Did you take these curtains from his bed while he was lying there and dying?
Yes, I certainly did,
said the woman.
Why not take them?
Well, you'll certainly be successful at this job, said Joe.
Well, I wasn't going to miss the opportunity,
said the woman.
He didn't need them. He was almost dead when I got there. Besides, think of the kind of man he was. He would probably have done the same thing, if it would help him. And look, here are some of his blankets. He isn't going to catch a cold without them.
I hope he didn't die of a sickness. We might catch it, said Joe.
Oh, don't worry about it,
said the woman.
Here's his best shirt. There aren't any holes in it, and the material is very nice. It was lucky that I saved it. Someone wanted to bury him in the shirt, but I took it off his body at the last moment. I said he should be buried in an uglier shirt, because the worms were going to eat it up anyway.
Scrooge listened to this conversation and felt terrible. These people had stolen some poor dead man's things from his house, even the clothes off his body. These people were terrible. But who was the dead man? Scrooge knew that the ghost of Christmas Future would give him no answers. Joe gave a bag of money to the woman. It was more than the others had received.
Ha ha!
Laughed the woman.
That man had no friends when he was alive. So now we can get rich from his death. There's no one who cares about his house or his things.
Ghost of Christmas Future, cried Scrooge. I understand now. If I do not change myself, my life will end just like this poor dead man has ended.
Suddenly the scene changed. Scrooge was standing in a dark, cold room. In front of him was a bed, and on the bed something lay. It was covered with a sheet. The black ghost stood next to the bed, and its white hand pointed at the thing on the bed.